Then in verse 16 he says, only ye shall not eat the blood. Ye shall pour it upon the earth as water. Now, in the tabernacle, when they sacrificed these things before they ate them, they poured the blood on the altar. They used it in sacrifice. So when he gave them permission to eat these same things in their homes, the blood still was something they could not eat. He says, pour it on the ground, on the earth, as water. Just pour it out. Do not eat the blood. Another place in the chapter he says, because that's the life of, that's the life. Now, some of the Bible scholars have pointed out that the worshipers of idolatry also had a very special significance of blood. They felt that when the blood was consumed of a sacrificed animal, that the idolatrous god, spirit, mingled with this blood. So when they partook of this blood, they were actually partaking of the spirit of the idol. And so it's been suggested that that was another reason, perhaps, that God gave this rule not to eat the blood, so they would not do anything that would resemble the idolatrous worship of partaking of this idol spirit by eating the blood. However, the Bible does not say that. That's only speculation. The Bible says they're not to eat it because it's the life thereof. They're to pour it on the ground as water. And we know that this was the thing they offered on the altar when they were offering these animals in the tabernacle. Verse 17, thou mayest not eat within thy gates the tithe of thy corn, or thy wine, or thy oil, or the firstlings of thy herds, or thy flock, nor any of thy vows which thou vowest, nor thy freewill offering, or heave offering of thine hand. But thou must eat them before the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose, thou and thy son and thy daughter, and thy manservant, and thy maidservant, and the Levite that is within thy gates, and thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God in all that thou puttest thine hand unto. Here again, he states that these things they couldn't eat anywhere except the place that the Lord had chosen. And he again says that they shall rejoice for the Lord thy God in all that thou puttest thy hand unto. Now, verse 19, take heed to thyself that thou forsake not the Levite as long as thou livest upon the earth. Forsake not the Levite. Now, there are two ways to look upon this idea of not forsaking the Levite. One is that the Levite was to be cared for as long as he was within thy gate. You're to show him hospitality, and he's to be allowed to enjoy the same things you enjoy of your inheritance because he has no inheritance. But another way that they were not to forsake the Levite was that the Levite took care of this place where they brought their offerings. And so if they neglected to go there to do their offerings, they'd be forsaking the Levite. And there's two ways to look at it, as I say, and that's another way to look at it. To neglect to do the offerings in the right place would be also to be forsaking the Levite, because that was the Levite's job, to take care of the tabernacle and later the temple. Verse 20, when the Lord thy God shall enlarge thy border, as he hath promised thee, and thou shalt say, I will eat flesh, because my soul longeth to eat flesh, thou mayest eat flesh, whatsoever thy soul lusteth after. Now, he's given them permission to eat this flesh in their houses. If the place which the Lord thy God has chosen to put his name there be too far from thee, then thou shalt kill of thy herd and of thy flock, which the Lord hath given thee, as I have commanded thee, and thou shalt eat in thy gates whatsoever thy soul lusteth after. So if they lived too far away from this tabernacle so that they could not go and offer a part of it on the altar, then they could go ahead and kill and eat as their heart desired in their homes. Even as the roebuck and the hart is eaten, so shalt thou eat them. The unclean and the clean shall eat them alike. Only be sure that thou eat not the blood, for the blood is the life, and thou mayest not eat the life with the flesh. Verse 24, thou shalt not eat it. Thou shalt pour it upon the earth as water. Thou shalt not eat it, that it may go well with thee, and with thy children after thee, when thou shalt do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. Only the holy things which thou hast, and thy vows, thou shalt take and go into the place which the Lord shall choose. Now, he's repeating what he's already said. These holy things that you have, there you go to the place which the Lord shall choose. And there's a lesson there for us today. When we go to worship God at the place which the Lord shall choose, and of course we know that's the assembling of the congregation of the church. When we go, only the holy things which thou hast and thy vows thou shalt take and go into the place where the Lord shall choose. We only take the right things there. We can't just take anything there and do any way that we might please. We can't just worship any way that we choose to. It has to be the place that the Lord has designated. And that, again, as I said, is where the church is assembled, where the holy ones of God are. Verse 27, "And thou shalt offer thy burnt offerings, the flesh and the blood, upon the altar of the Lord thy God, and the blood of thy sacrifices shall be poured out upon the altar of the Lord thy God, and thou shalt eat the flesh." Now this is how they worshipped at the altar. They offered them, they ate of them, and they poured the blood on the altar. "Observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee, and with thy children after thee forever, when thou doest that which is right, which is good and right, in the sight of the Lord thy God." Now beginning in verse 29, he has one more thought to get over before this chapter finishes. He has told them that they're not to do like they did in the wilderness. They're not going to be worshiping the same way in the wilderness. There are going to be some changes. There every man did as he pleased. Now he's going to tell them that they're not to do like those people who dwell in Canaan do. They're not to follow their example either. They're going to be a new entity, not like they were in the wilderness and not like those in Canaan are. Verse 29, "When the Lord thy God shall cut off the nations from before thee, whether thou goest to possess them, and thou succeedest them, and dwellest in their land, take heed to thyself, that thou be not snared by following them, after that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, How did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise." He said, do not be snared in following after them, after they're destroyed from before thee. And he says that thou inquire not after their gods. Don't even ask about how they worshipped. Don't investigate their methods. That thou inquire not after their gods, saying, How did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. You know, one of the great excuses that people use today for observing and even indulging in evil is, they say, well, how am I going to know whether it's good or bad if I don't go there and partake of it? If I don't have something to do with it, how am I going to know about it? Well, once we learn something is evil, that's far enough for us. We don't need to go any further. We don't need to investigate it anymore. We don't need to learn all the little details of it and practice it or anything like that. Once we learn it's evil, that's what he said here about these things. Do not inquire, or that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, How did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. This idea that we have to participate in something to know for sure whether or not it's bad, and even though we know it's bad, we still have to participate in just one time to get some experience with it, that is the same thing as saying, I know that a rattlesnake is bad, but I'm going to let him bite me just one time just to see what it's like. I never have been bitten by a rattlesnake, but I'm going to let him bite me one time just to know what it's like. How foolish. The same is true of any other sin or sinful ways. We as Christians don't need to study those things, don't need to get all the nitty-gritty of it. Once we see something is bad, we turn from it. If we're reading it in a book, if we're seeing it in any other way, let's get away from it. We don't need to say, well, I'm going to just get educated about this and see what it's really like, and then I'll know. Once we see it's bad, we don't need to go any further. We don't need to listen to all the rock records to know that they're bad. That'd be folly to have to do that. Once we see the ways that those people portray themselves and see the lifestyle that they have and what they're projecting, well, I can tell you the record's bad without hearing any of it. I don't have to hear it. I know for the source of it that it's going to be bad. Certain periodicals, certain publications. We don't even have to turn one page to know that they're bad. Just by the name of them, we know the reputation. And so it is about these gods. Once it's determined to be an idolatrous god, they want to inquire about it. And he says that if you start following after them, you're going to be snared. Do not be snared or trapped in following after them. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God. For every abomination to the Lord which he hateth, have they done unto their gods. Now think of that. Here's a rule. Everything the Lord hates, they've done to their gods. Every false religion, then, every false method of worship is something God hates. Everything God dislikes, they have done it to their gods. For even their sons and their daughters, they have burnt in the fire to their gods. He shows how bad it is. They even go so far as to sacrifice their sons and their daughters in the fire to their gods. What things soever I command you, observe to do it, thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. And I'd like to say here and now that one of our very greatest downfalls in the world of religion today is the fact that we have borrowed from the traditions of men, we've borrowed from other methods of worship, we've interjected these things into the church, we've carried them over with us, these old traditions that have nothing to do with the truth, and we've put them into our worship to God. And God says that everything that's an abomination to him, they've done it to their gods. Every kind of a thing that God would not like, somewhere somebody's used that to their gods, to worship their gods with. And so we're not to pattern ourselves after them. We're not to follow after them. We're not to study their ways, inquire about their ways to see how they did it. That's not for us. He has a place to worship, a place that's his habitation. And he has a way to worship. And all other ways are to be destroyed. And of course, in our day and time, we break down these mighty strongholds. And everything that's holds itself up against the knowledge of God, why, we cast it down. The imaginations and so forth. And that's exactly what we're guilty of today, is following imaginations. Not the truth, but we just imagine, we just think that God would have us to do it. Can't prove it in the Bible. People don't even make any effort to prove it in the Bible. And so this great principle that he lays down here in this 12th chapter of Deuteronomy, this principle also really is for us too. God hasn't changed on that principle. And just as he was strict about his people then, he's strict today. He was a jealous God then, and he's jealous today. Well, that concludes our remarks on this chapter. Next time, Lord willing, we'll begin then with the 13th chapter of Deuteronomy.